When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
Hello. So you know that feeling in old cars where you had the key in the ignition but it just wouldn't spring to life? Well, the season's becoming a bit like that. It's yet another week in the doldrums for a majority of managers. Well done if you have escaped the misery a little bit. Almost made us reconsider just republishing the pod from a couple of weeks ago and just getting on with things. But you know what? We decided to resist the urge to be lazy, and instead we're here to continue the inquest and hope for a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Joined today by Nick, very busy and tired-looking Nick. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. Thank you, Tom. Recovered from chicken pox. Thankfully, as many of the people that listen to our pod with Planet FPL, I was a bit waylaid, a bit ill. My son was ill as well, but both of us are healthy and on the mend, which is good news. Just to say who we are Who Got the Assist. You can find us on Twitter at WGTA_FPL. And you can also find myself at WGTA_Nick. And make sure to listen and subscribe via the usual pod repository, Spotify, SoundCloud, iTunes, whatever. So what are we talking about today, Tom?
Cool. So this week is actually about fine margins a bit. So I've had a look through your team versus mine just to see how you've gotten ahead a little bit, just to think about what's been going on so far and kind of what the differences have been. I've also delved into the team of the week data a little bit, actually, to see if there's anything interesting to help us explain further what's going on. And I guess we'll also talk through kind of the risk versus reward side, that sort of dynamic we end up at, talk about some pairings. And obviously you wildcarded this week, Nick. Much to your chagrin, it's not really paid off, but you've got a few reflections, I suppose, on that too. And of course, do the features, and of course, take some of the many, many questions from the community. Thanks for those.
Yeah, thanks for the questions as always, guys. So yeah, that sounds good, Tom. Shall we get started then with the game week reviews? Would you like to go first?
Not really. It's not been it's been, I think for everybody, it's been a pretty hard game week. I've got 24 at the moment. I've got one man still playing. We're recording during the Arsenal Sheffield United game. We've got one man on the bench in Lundstram who's going to come on for Otamendi. But yeah, 24 points plus Lundstram isn't great. The only return I got all week was Raheem Sterling's assist. That was it. But the rest of my team either blanked or didn't play at all. In the case of Otamendi, didn't play at all. Son didn't start. Yeah, the big hope, Callum Wilson, hoping for lots of goals in that Bournemouth-Norwich game. Absolutely anomalous 0-0 result in that game, basically. Damn my team and set the tone for the rest of it. And it's just been relentless, hasn't it, how poor it's been. Like, I genuinely can't remember. I think game week three was the last time I hit more than 60 points. Like, it's been really, really poor. I'm still sitting at 1.5 million. Like, I know we're all bunched up and stuff, but yeah, it's definitely testing a lot of patience. So I was quite glad, actually, that we got a lot of questions this week. So I was quite, I was expecting there to be total disengagement and disenfranchisement with FPL, but I think we're all in it together and all having a terrible time. So yeah, hopefully next week's going to be better. What about you, Nick?
It wasn't great, to be honest. Yeah, so a little bit disappointing when you wild card and you change things up and everything kind of goes to pot. And I think actually my team would have done better if I hadn't wild carded, because I had the likes of Luca Dean and also played Sergio Rico. So Rico's on my bench, sitting there as first sub, 8 points, which is a bit frustrating. Team got 32. In total, so it is a red arrow. It was actually looking like a green for some reason, as of last night, which just shows how poor a game week is. But since the auto subs have kicked in, I've gone down about 70 places, which is a bit frustrating. But yeah, it's only returns were Tomori, got 5 points because he got yellow card as well, and Raheem Sterling, who you mentioned. So not great at all.
Yeah, it's just been I've run out of words to describe how it's been to some extent. And I guess today we're going to be continuing kind of to look at a few things around how the season's gone. Like, we know that some people are absolutely flying. For example, FPL Chef did me a bit of a favour on Twitter and said that my work on value is why he is doing so well this year. If I'm going to take my own advice, but well done to Chef and others. But on an overall level, it's fair to say it's been a bit of a difficult one for many. And you know, we looked at this with a great poll about Alex Ball the other 2 weeks ago now. And I guess we're kind of adding a couple of new dimensions today just to kind of see how the season's going and kind of just check in on what might be happening. And we don't often do this, actually. We don't often focus on our own teams very often because we are trying to kind of give advice on a higher level. But for the first thing, I think in terms of the theme, the topic of fine margins, I just wanted to go over, Nick, our teams and how you've gotten ahead this year. Just cause it's a fascinating exercise just to do quickly, because like there's a 33-point gap, accepting tonight's outcome, between you and I. Your OR is at 380k and mine is 1.5 million. Throughout the course of this season, we've captained the same guy every week except once, which was in game week 7, when I captained Son and you captained Salah. And actually, I only gained 4 points on you through that. You've beefed me basically every week. And I had a look for why, and the why is really interesting because our teams have been so similar for the majority of the time. It's just been these sorts of instances. So game week 2, you scored 52 points, I scored 42. The why, you had Lucas Moura and Josh King. They got excellent. 6 points each.
An excellent pick, Steph. Moura and King as well.
And I had Jota and Fraser. They both blanked. Game week 4, you had a Zinchenko clean sheet, whereas my Jota blanked again. Game week 5, you had Todd Cantwell scoring you the goal, whereas Chabelos, my player, failed. Game week 6, KDB Vice versus Salah Vice. And the last two game weeks, I've beaten you by 1 point, you've beaten me by 1 point. And this week, pretty much it's Tomori. It's the only difference between the two of us. Absolutely just crazy stuff. Like all of these little sort of moments are the things at the moment which are separating us. And as I've just mentioned, you're 480k, I'm 1.5 million. Like, okay, we spoke about the captains of Alex, but do you think these little sort of extra moments are attributable to luck? Like, do you think they're going to even out? Like, how would you describe those?
I don't know. When you mentioned the players that have sort of returned me in terms of the differences, it does seem a little bit jammy, to be honest, in terms of some of those assets. I mean, they're not particularly players that you'd expect massive hauls from, but, you know, they delivered on the day. They caught my eye, clearly. I mean, other players like Chabellos, you might have said, it was a bit too much of a risky punt, perhaps. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, it is fine margins, as you said. It's these captain picks we talked about last week or the week before when we were talking about how, you know, picking between Sterling and Salah would have made, you know, about 30-plus points overall. Those Liverpool clean sheets, if we got them, would have made such a huge difference as well. But, yeah, we've been picking the wrong captains week in, week out, and other people have been as well. And now it's just, I think for everyone, no one can find any points just because none of the premium assets are performing at all. They're all blanking, which is, at least we're all kind of in the same boat. Like, you know, it's rubbish and you feel really, you know, crappy when you have a really bad game week and you're looking around and you're seeing all the people on Twitter with their 60 points, their 70 points, and you think you're looking at your 30 and 40 thinking, Christ, I want to get up now. At least when we're on 30 and 40 points or whatever, 30 and 20 points, I haven't really seen any big calls. I think the highest I've probably seen is about 55 or 60 online, to be honest. I don't know if you've seen any massive hauls, but it seems like the last couple of weeks, everyone's been suffering. Like all the premium players, all the captain picks have been blanking. Even the differential picks have been blanking. You know, the likes of Pookie as well, who I've sold, have getting 1 point 2 weeks in a row, looking like a good decision. But yeah, it doesn't seem to be much working out for it. I think you've looked a little bit at the team of the week, haven't you, for the last few game weeks? And, you know, some of the players that are in those teams of the weeks, it's just become very, very hard to predict. You know, who'd expect Yan Mat, for instance, to be hauling against Spurs and be the top scorer this week? No, not expected at all.
Yeah, exactly. Those sorts of players are just coming through, aren't they? Like, you'd be hoping an end has a start with this sort of thing, that we are going to find that things are going to turn the corner. But I think there's definitely been the case that the quote-unquote template formed very, very quickly, didn't it? And I think people did start to think, including myself, that, oh, I can't go without this guy, I can't go without that guy. And actually, we were so early on into the season that I just think it was just a bit too early for it to all come together and us all to congregate around certain players. Like, what's really interesting is that this week, for example, the top 15 own players, VVD, Abraham, Sterling, Mount, Pukki, KDB, Lundstram, Salah, TAA, Mane, Aguero, Aubameyang, Kelly, Button and Cantwell. The highest score of any of those players so far, let's see what happens with this, the rest of this game.
Lundstram, yeah.
It could be Lundstram if he gets a clean sheet, or it's Raheem Sterling with five otherwise. Which is absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? Meanwhile, all of the top scorers this week, Alonso, Grealish, Yang Mat, Barnes, it's Harvey Barnes, that is, and David Silva are the top five. Only Silva and Rashford of the top 15 scorers this week have ownership over 10%. They've got likes of João Cancelo, 0.9%, who scored the 12th highest. Sidibe, 0.2%. It's absolutely crazy at the moment. It's really, really hard to just wrap your head around what's going on. You mentioned a second ago, I looked at the team of the week data. So this was FPLJB on Twitter. He looked, I think it was last week, he looked at the points the team scored that week and the week before, sort of thing. What I did was I looked through all of the team of the week data and I kind of compared that, so the points they got that week, to the points they got the next week. And basically, I proved that team of the week is an absolutely useless measure of predicting anything. An average of 3 players per week will return again. The average team of the week score is 133. But the average score the next week is 40 for a team of the week. That's over the first 8, which is absolutely crazy. And 14 players have appeared twice in team of the week. But Nick, only 2 players have appeared 3 times. Who are they?
KDB?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Sterling?
No. Yeah, you're in the right ballpark. Mane. Yeah, Mane's one. Who would the second one be?
Aguero, Salah.
I'll give you a clue. His brother's name, Timmy.
What?
It'll make sense. It's a Tammy Abraham.
Tammy Abraham.
His brother is actually called Timmy, which I found out today. I found hilarious.
Does he play football as well?
Yeah, he does. He's a forward for Fulham. this week is on course to be the worst week in terms of team of the week as well, with no players returning after Arsenal conceded, unless David Luiz scores the last minute goal or something like that. So it just goes to show that on all sort of measures at the moment, we are really struggling to try and figure out what the hell is going on effectively. There's a real ocean of the night about how things have been going, because it has been, you know, 4 or 5 weeks where it has really been a bit of a struggle. And I guess what that leads us on to then is the fact that you've got this kind of risk versus reward thing going up, because players are super bunched up and it's more about kind of how you make a difference. So we spoke about that with Dare a little bit, and a few people did ask questions of us this week about that too, Nick. So Steve King asked a question. He said, if the template is broken, or at least needed some TLC, is it time to become more differential? And FPL Finch asks us, like, do we template up or go wild at this point? So, for example, he attached a GIF of Rashford and said, I'm planning on getting this guy in. So, Nick, this is quite interesting for you to reflect on your wildcard summits then, because you had 2 teams. You have one team which is a little bit more differential, you know, your big powers sorts of guys, and the team you ultimately went with, which was, fair to say, a little bit more template. Like, how do you think about that now? Like, do you think you should have gone the other way on reflection and kind of differentiated more? Are you happy with your kind of templation? You do always say, for example, keep calm and follow the template, don't you?
Yeah, I have said that before. But I mean, like, to be honest, like, the second team that I ended up going with got a lot of praise, whilst the first team got a lot of criticism. And maybe I should just ignore the criticism and say, you know what, I'm just going to go with my initial thoughts, which was a bit more of a kind of powerful. It had Aubameyang in there as well, and Aubameyang was going to be the captain. So maybe ask me the same question at the end of the game in case something happens. I might change my answer. But, you know, at the end of the day, this team I've got now has a very strong bench. Maybe that's worked to my disadvantage this game week with the Rico 8-pointer. But I would have probably played Rico, and I'd have had like a setup which was looking like it was going to end up with Winston Reid and still hanging on to Mason Greenwood, whilst now I've got a bench this game week of Rico, Aaron Connolly and Lundstram. So I've ended up with a lot stronger bench, a lot stronger starting 11 as well, because that starting 11 also was including Todd Cantle. So at the end of the day, my team is a lot stronger on paper. I've spread the budget a little bit more, whilst, you know, before that I was going for Aubameyang, KDB, Sterling, and someone else, Salah or Mane, I think, as well. So it was quite a power front four team. It's a bit more differential perhaps with the Aubameyang pick, but right now I've got I feel like the team's a bit kind of better spread out, with likes of Madison and stuff making the numbers, as opposed to having Cantwell as the fifth midfielder. So I feel like it's worked out all right in the end, to be honest. So I got Callum Wilson, obviously. I went with him in the end. He was the swap. So I didn't have Wilson in the first draft, but Wilson came in for Aubameyang and followed your advice there, Tom. I know you you went all Iosi Perez, didn't you, on Twitter, and just released a thread in terms of his attacking output, which obviously meant that he was going to blank. And I even followed you all the way to giving him the armband, which I'm not too bothered about, considering no one else would have done well anyway. So my highest score was Sterling with 5. So no, I haven't really missed out in that regard.
No, if there's one result which sums up FPL this season, it is that 0-0, that Bournemouth-Norwich 0-0. Like, everything was pointing to that being a bit of a goal fest, and I just couldn't believe that was the first day that both of those teams kept a clean sheet against each other. Absolutely just... It's just so hard to process for a kind of when you see that sort of thing happen. It's so annoying. And I guess now, looking at my team, like, the fact that I've, as I said at the beginning of the pod, like, I'm not able to get it going. I'm not able to kind of make it work. Like, I feel like I'm making the runs for FPL, but they're not finding me with the final ball, sort of thing. So, like, do we end up just differentiating now? Do I end up kind of making really punty moves? Like, that's not really worked in the past, has it, for me? Like, with players like, I don't know, KDB, when he was back from injury, being brought in instead of Salah. But at that point, Sanchez. And Sanchez as well. Yeah, thanks, Nate. Thanks for that reminder. But at that point, I was doing pretty well. Whereas now, like, I was speaking to Tom Campbell earlier, and he was just like, it's already a disaster. So, can it get any worse by making kind of these sort of transfers? Like, at the moment, for example, I've got a choice here. I'm moving Son probably this week. I'm probably going to wait till Friday. I've got a choice basically between putting Mane in, which is obviously a very straightforward, no questions asked sort of move, or whether I take a punt on someone like Mahrez, someone like David Silva, or someone like Martial. I'm 1.5 million. I need to make some changes. Do I just kind of go with the straightforward option like a Mane, or is this season the sort of season where I buy a player like Mahrez, fully expecting the next two games, Aston Villa and Southampton, to be those games where a guy like that is going to flourish? Like, it feels like that sort of risk could be rewarded this year, whereas in the past, faith has been kind of where it's at. Like, what are your views on that, Nick?
Well, I think there's opportunities to go with differentials. You know, like, I took that gamble on Pepe, for instance, which paid off for that 1 week punt. I think someone else that you could perhaps consider is Callum Hudson-Odoi, who's actually appearing in the market forces this game week with 3 assists in a row. We've also seen other players sort of appear from the doldrums. You talked about him in the last pod, how he always breaks the stats, you know, like Jamie Vardy, for instance. And Jimenez as well, another one that was sort of a bit anti-template, but delivered the goods this game week. So I think certainly there is scope for differential. I'd be wary about some of the people you mentioned, the likes of Mahrez, the likes of David Silva. I feel like there's a little bit of rotation risk there with those guys. So just be careful with that. But I think you could take risks. I think Martial as well, very interesting option there. You mentioned Manchester United's fixtures are turning again, aren't they? So I would certainly consider him. I think with their run, well, they've got Norwich, Bournemouth, Brighton, Sheffield United, Aston Villa for their next 5. You know, that could be a really good gamble. You could really gain some points there, because very few people will have him now after his lengthy injury spell.
I don't mind Martial, but I do, because I can be taking out Otamendi as well, just because he's useless. I don't like him as a player, and I'm just going to take him down to, I don't know, Tomori or something. But I'm really tempted to triple up on City midfield just for this. I know there's a rotation, of course. I know that. That's we might as well just not bother saying that ever again. But having Mahrez, Sterling, and KDB has, I think, 0.13% of people have that combination. If you want to talk about compound differentials, City are obviously so far ahead in so many of the measures. They've had almost 40 more shots in the box, for example, than Chelsea have, and at home they're even more imperious. We've got Aston Villa and Southampton over the next two, and having three of them, like, okay, it's definitely a bit of a gamble, but for in the 8-0 versus Watford, for example, surely it would have been a good thing to have three of them. So two quite good looking home games for City next. I quite like that, and I'm aware that it could be a complete disaster zone, but equally the upside could be very, very big, because that combination might be highly owned. Probably similar with Martial, though, to be honest. I quite like that. But what about players, Nick, that we already own or that are highly owned? Like, is there any scope for changing around those guys? Like you mentioned Cal Hudson-Odoi there. Like, if you own Mount, or if you were kind of still thinking about bringing a Chelsea midfielder, would you think, well, okay, Mount's got 40% ownership or something like that. Would you be thinking that Cal Hudson-Odoi is a better option there now, just to kind of climb the ranks a bit?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a decent option. I think Mount and Hudson-Odoi, I wouldn't like to say one is better than the other. One's a better FPL pick than the other. We've not really got enough data, to be honest, to be working off. But I certainly think that both are really good options, really good value picks. And if someone asked me if I recommended both, I'd say perhaps I even did. I'd perhaps say, yeah, and just double up on Chelsea, because their fixtures are still pretty good, you know. Burnley, Watford, Crystal Palace, the next three. Mount didn't get any points this game week, but Hudson-Odoi now seems to be nailed on in that starting 11. He's got three returns in a row, as I said, albeit only assists. Seems like he's really starting to show that potential. He's obviously a highly rated player, and fitting in well with the other Chelsea youth products that we've got at the moment. So I think both are really good picks. I would never sort of recommend the sideways move either. I'm not a big fan of that, as you know. So not a fan of that, but I certainly think he is a good option.
I mean, the data we do have is obviously the ownership data. So I think that if Cho can keep it up, I think that he could definitely be an option for people, just because I wasn't very happy paying 0.5 million or whatever it was more for Mount. I'm just not sure I want to pay 0.8, 0.9 million more, and people have bought him at 6.1, 6.2, then have 0.7, 0.8 on you. That's a lot. But yeah, I can see why people would go for Mount, I suppose. So I'll keep going for Mount. And the final thing, I guess, is the Pookie party. So you've left that. I've left that. And Pookie is still... reveal why I've left that, I should probably say. But Pookie is still one of the highest owned players in the game, and has Man United up next, which is the sort of game, of course, where Pookie is going to do very, very well, 35% owned. But in the lower kind of cheap seats, I mean, you mentioned Jimenez a minute ago, which is who I swapped Pookie for, but if you can't afford to go up a little bit, there are loads of options, aren't there, in that sort of bracket. And there's one guy who you like quite a lot, Neil Mopay at Brighton. So they've got two good games coming up at Everton and Norwich, and we're again in kind of short-term punt territory. I know you absolutely don't like it, but I kind of feel like there are a few teams at the moment who do have those two home games in a row. West Ham have got them as well, like where you can get a player in for those 2 weeks and kind of ship them out. And I think Mopay at six seems like a nice option, because he's so cheap that you can kind of afford to mess around with him. Like, we do say don't mess around with the premiums too much, but a player like that, like, I know you probably wouldn't ever consider it with your conservatism, Nick, but can you see at least why I'm considering, you know, a Mahrez or something like that?
Yeah, I think you can consider these players. I think obviously likes of Mopay hasn't really delivered too much yet, but his teammate Aaron Connolly did against Spurs, got a brace. Perhaps you can save an extra 1.5 million as well by going for a player like that, you know, and then, you know, really adding a bit of flexibility in terms of the rest of your team. If you fancy a hardcore gamble, you've also got Danny Ings, 5.9, three goals now in a row. You know, he is essentially the form player in FPL right now with those returns, with everyone else blanking. You know, maybe take a punt on Danny Ings. Obviously, Southampton's fixtures aren't great. They've got Leicester, City, Everton, Arsenal up next, all tough games. But, you know, he's a player that's in form, and at 5.9, you know, why not? Also, obviously, there's Wesley. Again, Villa have some really, really tough fixtures coming up next, 6.1. But, you know, he did very, very well in the Norwich game with his hat-trick. So, yeah, you know, there's a few punts out there, a few gambles. You know, those we thought at the beginning of the season we had all these forwards sort of delivering week in, week out, likes of Pukki, likes of Ashley Barnes, likes of Tammy Abraham as well. But, you know, it has been very dry for them, actually. And then things are changing around very much. The striker is back out of vogue, and it's not big at the back, but it's very little at the back at the moment. It was sort of like my dad, for instance, will go into Dad Watch later, has gone for a 5-man defence involving lots of cheap defenders that are doing well. So, you know, it's working out for some at least.
Yeah, I think it's just tantamount to such the unpredictable world that we're living in at the moment, where the likes of Lundstram, Rico and Kelly could feasibly have been a fantastic defensive three over the last like 5 or 6 games. Like, it's absolutely crazy. Like, it's not an FPL that we're really able to understand. You can probably tell by today's podcast, but it is one that I keep on marvelling at. Like, I know it sounds like a gambler's fallacy, but surely by Neil Gupta's amazing law of averages, the template has got to strike back soon. Like, surely it has to. Surely this isn't going to continue. Surely we're not going to end up, you know, buying Danny Ings and triple captioning him, are we? So let's just kind of hope it happens, hope it improves, and hopefully next week we'll be able to talk about something positive rather than kind of continuing the inquest onwards. But hopefully that was vaguely useful, and we'll move on to the features after this break.
Who got the assist?
So we're back. We're going to do the feature section now. This is our weekly staple of things that we go through, the market forces, you know, the first season, Nick pick versus the Tom pick, and Dad Watch. We're going to part the zombies for a little while, so we've got more time for questions. They'll return after the next international break, just to give an update on how we're doing. And also to save ourselves the embarrassment of having to report week after week they're doing better than us. But let's start with the market forces. Nick, as the man across the numbers, what are you seeing here?
The Racing Rats appear to be struggling, actually, to reacting to the recent events. And I think it's a statement that the most transferred in player has only actually scored 3 points in the last 2 game weeks. And that's Kevin De Bruyne, who was obviously injured, but in this sort of period of uncertainty and, you know, no template players scoring, no one really knows who to buy. Are they going for differentials? What's happening? But KDB, most popular player, most transferred in player at this moment in time, with just 100,000 transfers at the time of recording. So, yeah, obviously, a lot of people looking at that Villa game up next, and he was injured, so people buying him back as well. He didn't fall at all, which is very annoying for me as well, because I was hoping to cash in on a little bit of money on my wild card, but no. KDB, most transferred in player. So most transferred out, actually, is Pukki, though, you mentioned, and that's 4 blanks in a row for him, and also 2 yellow cards. Feels like that party's definitely fizzled out and started to look a bit lame. You know, the Vardy's, Tom, actually, have a distant Pukki's party in the sun and invited everyone over to check out his new boombox, because Vardy is the second most transferred in player as well, with over 77,000 transfers in right now. So yeah, people selling Pukki, people buying Vardy. That's not really a surprise. Vardy's doing very well, isn't he? Few goals in the row, or 3 goals in 3 games now for him. And Leicester's fixtures are very, very nice as well. So looking like a real differential pick there.
Yeah, no, certainly. I think he's still under 15% owned, to 13% I think it is at the moment. But yeah, he's just one of those, isn't he, that it takes a different mindset, I think, to own Vardy. You've just got to love him and leave him, but like Eden Hazard used to be. Just leave him in your team and he's going to do okay over the course of the season. Yeah, you can see that Pukki's definitely losing that sort of ownership. At the beginning, you know, the expectations were that he had the weight of the world eventually on his shoulders, and it just looks like it's not really worth. But now I've finally sold. I'm sure that his remaining owners are going to have a fantastic time. And to be fair, like, they've got United, Brighton, Watford in the next 3. Like, as we've said, the last few games, those games are also games that you could easily score in. So there you go. elsewhere. The guy we mentioned earlier on, Cal Hudson-Odoi, almost 50,000 transfers in for him now. He's up to 6.0 again, but still only 2.4% owned. Aubameyang has been brought in a lot, and Sadio Mane still continuing his quest to overtake Mo Salah. So he's now got 30% ownership, and he's up to 11.8. And Salah is down to 31.2, Nick. So there's going to be a momentous occasion, I think, very, very soon when the Sadio Mane asserts himself as being the number one Liverpool midfielder do not draws.
Yeah, that'll be quite exciting, Tom. I think, it's real strange market forces looking at where people have their fingers in the factories. It looks like it's just three players of the top five have blanked this game week and four players in the top six because Tammy Abraham's the sixth most transferred in player this game week. So, yeah, no real confusion in terms of what to do and what people are doing.
Yeah, and you can see that. So, for example, Salah is the third most sold player with 52,000 transfers out, dropped to 12.4, and I suspect the fire sale will continue, especially if he doesn't play in midweek and people are looking at Mane or something like that. And also the final two, you got Harry Kane sold by 50K. Quite a few people actually probably brought him in hoping for a boom against Watford, but it hasn't really quite paid out. And at the bottom of the transfers out is the guy that I'm considering bringing in. It's Riyad Mahrez. 50,000 have also sold him. But he, again, is probably going to want to be one of those that I'm hoping I'm going to be able to profit from the tailwind on. I'm hoping there'll be a price drop as well. In the past, if fortune favours the brave, I'm as poor as they come. But maybe this time it'll be different. And maybe, just maybe, if I buy a player like that in, it will come off for me. God, it really is the hope that kills you, isn't it? All right, let's move on then to what are we going to move on to, Nick? What did we move on to?
Over 30s?
Yeah, let's move on to the over 30s. And they've done very well this week, actually, which is quite surprising. So this is our team of players who are over the hill, over 30 years old, just as we are, who are competing basically this year. So a Man Specified fan member has taken the reins. And this week, Nick, they've scored 47 points plus whatever Aubameyang manages. So the transfers this week were Schmeichel and Azpilicueta in for the injured Hugo Lloris and also Coleman, who got himself sent off. 45 points they've got, and they're up to 1.1 million now. So they've overtaken my actual team, which is incredibly depressing. And I'm pretty sure, just to mention quickly, is on my zombies. I'm pretty sure my zombies are also going to overtake me, because at least Moussay, who scored tonight, is coming off the bench for Laporte. And also, Mo Salah, the captain, didn't play. The vice captain was on Sigurdsson, who came on for 3 minutes and scored a goal. So he's going to get 12 points for the captaincy.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
My zombie's got 47 points this week.
Oh, that's depressing, isn't it?
They did pretty well as well. Actually, 49 points, sorry, with Robertson and Azpilicueta and Rashford and players like that doing very well. Lucas Dean as well. So they're up about 550k in rank, just to rub a little bit more salt in those wounds, Tom.
Oh, no, it's so bad. We've been doing the zombies for a year, and I think last year we'd all kind of overtaken by game week four or game week five. I can't believe how much pace they're keeping at the moment. All right, the over 30s, that section turns to the zombies, even though we're saying we weren't going to do them. But the over 30s at 1.1 million, and my zombies somewhere at 1.5, anyone, 1.4, I think, actually cares. All right, the next bit is the Nick pick versus the Tom pick. This is a pick every week of a player who reflects our respective personalities. So Nick's is always a small c conservative pick, and my pick's always a bit of a mad scientist pick. And last week, Nick, you chose Josh King, who got 1 point because he was rested after international duty with England. And my pick was Raul Jimenez, who scored 7 points and should have scored a lot more. He got 2 goals VAR'd, which meant his stats as well are absolutely abysmal for the game. But if you do reinstate those stats after the VARing, he actually did look pretty good and looked pretty sharp, I thought. A rare victory for me in these stakes, and interesting to hear what your nitpick is going to be this time.
So, for my nitpick this week, I've actually gone for Harry Maguire, Tom. So, Manchester United have not scored a set piece all year, but I feel like perhaps it's going to be this game week that they can break that duck. We know that Norwich are pretty abject defensively, even though they kept a clean sheet last week, of course. But, Maguire, he is pretty solid in the air. We know that from England heroics as well. And the old Slabhead's had 8 goal attempts so far this season, Tom. 7 inside the box, all headed attempts. And I feel like that's actually about 6th highest for all defenders. And, you know, I'm not really saying he's going to get an attack in return, but you could fancy Manchester United to keep a clean sheet at home to Norwich, you'd like to think, anyway.
Away. They're away.
Away to Norwich. But yeah, that's my pick anyway.
No, I do like Slabhead, actually. I've been looking at him a little bit just because basically Man United's defensive stats have been very, very good. The attack has not been great. You can't really knock the defence. I think they're really good, actually. I think they're a joint bottom for shots conceded in the box, for example, this year. And they've also conceded the second least big chances just after Burnley. So it does look to be some data there. Like, Maguire has missed a couple of big chances, and I think you're right. We're not saying we were expecting an attack in return from him. But the next 5 for United, as you mentioned earlier, are really, really good. You'd be expecting them to bank at least 2 or 3 clean sheets from that. So yeah, that could be a really good pick this week. A nice solid kind of Nick pick there. In contrast, my pick this week is Gerard De La Feu. Yeah, he'll be back in the team after the injury to Arsenal legend Danny Welbeck, and played the full. So it looks like he may be back in kind of contention for full time. Down to 6.1 now, all the way down there. Very, very small ownership as well. But one of these players with a knack of scoring goals against porous clubs. If you want the poorest club, Bournemouth aren't particularly good. They're 4th. They, for example, conceded the 4th most big chances this year, and also conceded the 5th most shots on target. So I think that De La Feu is the sort of player who could make a difference in that sort of game, especially for the likes of Steve Cook, probably not going to be able to handle him. So yeah, that's my Tom pit this week. I do like a bit of De La Feu, actually, even though he can really perform if he's playing Huddersfield or Cardiff. We need to find who those teams are this year, so maybe it'll be Bournemouth, who knows. Although they were stalwarts against Norwich, weren't they? And the final thing this week, Nick, is Dad Watch. And as you alluded to, this is probably just going to deepen the depression for many people. And Dad Watch, Nick, I take it away. How's he been doing?
So yeah, he actually had a really good week again. He got 50 points this game week. So yeah, blood runs through our veins. But that's where our similarity ends in when it comes to FPL this season, Tom, because he's been doing brilliantly. He's back in the top 100K with 50 points. He's gone big at the back, actually. He picked up 4 clean sheets this game week. Rico, Edison, Dean and Tomori all getting him returns. And Vardy did the business as well. And he's also got all his chips as well. So still got that wild card intact as well. So yeah, great week for my dad this week.
Oh, good God. Well, I don't know. So I'm a little bit depressed because it's full time in that Sheffield United game. It's 1-0. Bittersweet because I've got 6 points for Lundstram off the bench. It takes me up to the lofty heights of 30 for this game week, Nick. I've had a 30 point game week. Very, very exciting. And so it means that I don't drop that far. But a combination of Arsenal losing and hearing how well Ian's doing have absolutely finished me off, I think, for this session. So I'm going to go off and have a break now, and we'll be back in a minute for the questions.
Who got the assist?
So we're back, and it's time to catch up with the Who Got the Assist mini league. Lots of low scoring points for the guys at the top again, but one guy who did really well was Declan Rinn with the Wesley Crushers. Even though 2 of his players didn't turn up, he still managed to get 56 points, which is going to become 60 points, actually. He misses out, unfortunately, on the Lundstram 6 points as his 3rd sub, but 60 points for him this game week. And that's with the Kane captain as well. So did really well. I think Alonso, Robertson, Edison getting him loads of points in terms of the defence. Hudson-Odoi, 9-pointer as well. And Vardy as well, 8-pointer. Really doing the business for him. And he's right up there in terms of overall rank. Currently he says 95, but the league overall in the world, which is fantastic, but the league is still updating as well, so that's easy change. Some of the other guys up there, Alec Feinhold, Fred the Red, doing very well, Christina Hogsworth, Christopher Marshall, Enes Kaladi, our good friend FPL Chef, doing fantastically well as well, Gaten de Becker, Evan Guest, Omar Magrabi and Saheed Olajumeji, all doing very well. That's the top 10 at this current moment in time, but that could easily change. So apologies if someone captain John Lundstrom and I didn't mention the team because I didn't have the chance to review everyone. But well done all the guys that are doing very well this season. fantastic work.
Yeah, lots of familiar names there, aren't there? But it seems like there's a bit of a stranglehold going on. But Declan's just got into first. So very interesting to see what happens there as we go forward. Just one thing to mention, which is that this year's Christmas party is going to be held, for FPL that is going to be held on the 13th of December, 6 p.m. onwards at the Marylebone Sports Bar and Grill in London. With hosting this year in collaboration with Fantasy Football Hub. This year it is, again, at the Marylebone Sports Bar and Grill, 13th of December at 6 p.m. Don't worry, you don't have to tell me if you're coming or anything like that. I think we've booked out an area for about 20 to 30 people as usual, but I mean, last year we got how many, Nick? About kind of 40 people, so
people last year, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully we can get 50 or 60. But yeah, if you can make it, definitely do. I know people are making plans to kind of head over, even from like places like Northern Ireland or something like that. So please do make it. Everyone's really, really nice, really friendly, and it's really good to kind of put a name to all sorts of FPL accounts, etc., etc. A really great event every year, so definitely try to do if you can. 13th of December, that's a Friday at 6 p.m. Cool. Right, let's move on to the questions now. We've got quite a few this week. The first one is a little bit of a jokey one to get us into it. It's a Ketan Chopra who asks us, do we enjoy the football more now that FPL is a total poo show? Yeah, I think that's quite an interesting one. I'm not sure that everything really is a pure watch, even if we're not doing very well.
Well, I think based on our club's results as well, we're not really enjoying the football either. I mean, as a Spurs fan, it's been utterly miserable the last month or so watching us. We've just been absolutely terrible, and just even like getting the point against Watford felt very bittersweet considering the defeats against Brighton and Bayern Munich, etc., that we've seen in the last few game weeks. So yeah, it's a bit of a downer at the moment. I'm sure you're not particularly happy after that Sheffield United 1-0, even though you did pick up your John Lindstrom points. But always nice for me as a Spurs fan to see Arsenal suffer as well. But yeah, it's been a bit weird. I do quite like watching the pure watches, you know, likes of Everton versus West Ham, even though Luca Dean wound me up a little bit. Like, just watching that game, knowing that I didn't have any assets, didn't really care who did well, was quite nice. And it's always nice to kind of, you know, try and let FPL take a little bit of a backseat as well, because I do find sometimes when I'm watching these games, like if my captain's playing, for instance, I do get a little bit worked up, just kind of like wanting them to do something, and then you're just like, you end up just sort of spending 2 hours just stressed, and you're like, why do I even bother watching this football match? I could have just like read a nice book or watched a movie or something like that, you know. Instead, I've just spent my last 2 hours, especially the 3 o'clock kickoffs as well. Like, I watched those this week, and well, I didn't watch them, you know, I was following the sports news show, and at the end of it, it was like 5:30. I felt so rubbish after the 5:30 fixture. It's like, oh, why do I even bother, you know? Yeah, I mean, watching football is always fun. I really enjoy watching football, but sometimes, yeah, it's nice to kind of take a little bit, put FPL to the back of your mind and just actually enjoy the game rather than just thinking about the players you own.
I'm just not able to do that, I don't think. Like, I'm a fragile thing, you should know that by now, and I should be careful what I put myself through. And FPL certainly is, on days like Saturday, a very, very hard thing to go through. I mean, I was in Liverpool this weekend with a friend, and I think between kind of 3 and 5, I was like, I was looking at my phone, just like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. And it was actually quite good, actually, in some ways, because I was with my mate, and then we were just playing on the PlayStation, and I could actually take my mind off it, which is great. But you know, if I'm sitting, you get really, really annoyed. And there's moments when you have a bit of a sense of humour fail, as our friend would put it, and you just kind of go, oh, you know, I've got to just go off for a little while and just calm down because I'm so annoyed. Like, it's amazing how FPL can get to you in some ways. Like, you get those really kind of ecstasy-laden highs and those kind of awful troughs, which are the lows. And I think it'll be such a release, so cathartic, when we all turn around and get a 60, 70 point game week again. It is definitely going to happen. 80, 90 point game. What am I talking about? 60, 70 there. We don't want that. We want 80 or 90. When that happens, I think we're all going to feel a lot better. But yeah, I'm not able to, especially as you said, with Arsenal being, basically, Sheffield United have turned into the new Stoke, haven't they? And I think we'd definitely, it was a really, really poor performance this evening. I've been, you know, trying to keep an eye on it as well. We've been talking, as you have too, and it's, yeah. But, I think FPL is in my blood now. There's not very much I can do about that. Okay, let's move on to the next question then. It's about short-termism. Adam at 352, hey mate, asked, with unpredictability rife, should we focus on short-term planning rather than longer-term picks currently? But funnily enough, people have asked the opposite question too. So Jeremy Lewis and Simon both asked, is it actually time for FPL managers to basically go on holiday and do jack-all with their teams as this volatility continues? And Andy Penman, in fact, goes one step even further than that, goes all the way to oblivion and asks, does it really matter what we do at the moment? So it kind of gets to the crux of how we're all feeling. And I know we've spoken about it beforehand. And of course, well done if you're doing well. But what do you think about that, Nick? About should we just give up any vestige of long-term planning and just think, yeah, let's just focus on buying Mahrez, like I've been saying?
Well, I think I'm more towards the kind of the Jeremy Lewis and Simon side of things in terms of my response. I feel like it's certainly not really the time to kind of make lots of changes and take hits. I think definitely wasn't the game week to take any hits. Wasn't the game week, unfortunately, to wildcard either, but of course I went for that. I think now I'm certainly going to be looking at rolling my transfer, having wildcard this week, and not make any changes, not kind of throw everyone out, because there's no one to bring in. And we saw that in the market forces. We don't know who, no one's in form. Problem Danny Ings, no one's getting returns week in, week out right now. So you can't really predict anything. It's too tricky to say what happens next. You can only look at the fixtures and try and make some informed decisions. And there are certain truths that will remain true, and that is that Manchester City are a very strong attacking team, which means that, no doubt, if we trust in our Manchester City assets, for instance, home match against Aston Villa, we should do well, all things considered. But it's very hard to predict what's going on at the moment. So you could try both ways. You could just leave it. You could take a bunch of hits. You know, it might pay off, might not pay off. Who knows? So, yeah, just go wild and do what you want to do with your teams. That's probably my response right now.
Yeah, it really has been crazy season. And yeah, I know in the past, for example, those people have disliked the fact that the template has been so solid, and basically you made gains for other people making mistakes like me, selling like big players like Salah. This year, it really has gone the opposite way, where making those sorts of calculated risky decisions really has paid off, and removing players like with Pukki. I said it for a long time that the story of him is when to jump off, and we both took a few blanks from him before we finally sold, didn't we? And I think it has been one of those sort of years where I guess taking those sorts of short-term risks, things that have been kind of inculcated into sort of bad ideas, have really started to pay off. Like, it's fascinating, like with where I work as well, like with traders and how people react to the market. Like at the moment, the market, I'm going to digress a little bit here, it's very volatile because Donald Trump tweets about the China trade war and suddenly everyone's on, trading and blah, blah, blah. But there's loads of other people as well who don't trade because it's too volatile. They can't predict it. They can't tell what's going on. And it's fascinating to see that sort of characteristic also play out in FPL a little bit. For example, the questions that Jeremy and Simon have said, it's just so volatile, I just don't want to touch it. It's one of those things where there's no real answer. I just, without the benefit of hindsight, it's really difficult to tell, because there are loads of things where experience tells me to do one thing, and my kind of gut, my whim, my initial instincts is do another. And this year I have tried to play it as safely as possible after last year's debacle with taking a lot of kind of risky moves. And to be honest, it's not really paid off. So I am beginning to think now is the time to go a bit mad and do something a little bit different. I'm not saying mad as in go and captain the Mahrez. I'm still going to captain De Bruyne or something like that. But I just think it could be that sort of time to do something different, because we do have a template which isn't performing. There's going to be a whole load of players who are not going to deviate from the template because that's what they do. That's how that has worked for them in the past. It's just the case of having a few players, I guess, who are able to be a differential for you, and having that kind of compound differential in your mind. So having a combination of players which is lower end is obviously very, very good. Yeah, it's tough, as a wise man would say. Right, moving on to something a bit more targeted. The Vardy party or the Madison meetup? There's a few questions on these guys. So, for example, FPL Cash asks out which one of these two we're fancying, and FPL DC asks if Vardy is a must buy right now. Let's take Cash's question first, Nick. What do you think about these two? Which one you? I mean, you got Madison actually, haven't you? So, why did you choose Madison over Vardy? Is it just price?
Yeah. For me, I think it's mainly about the price and who I could afford. I've always been one to favour the midfielder over the forward as well. But I think Jamie Vardy, is a really good pick right now, especially in this sort of period of where we aren't seeing too many informed players. Vardy seems to be one of those players that always will deliver. He's been very, very reliable, really, over the course of the past few seasons. You know, every season he's scoring about 15 to 16 goals. You can trust on him basically to score week in, you know, every other week. And, you know, you're not really seeing that sort of reliability from other assets out there. So I really do like Vardy as a pick. I mean, 9 million has always put me off. I've always found him a little bit too expensive for my own taste, personally. So, you know, I don't know. But he does have 6 goals and 1 assist so far. So perhaps with Leicester's fixtures, he does need to be strongly considered by managers. I certainly wouldn't say he was a must-buy or describe anyone as a must-buy right now. I think with Maddison, he needs to be strongly considered. And I'd also give a shout out for Youri Tielemans as well, who's doing very well. And only 6.4, he's picked up a couple of goals now and an assist as well. And he's actually outscoring Maddison by 1 point. So, you know, I think there are definitely a number of options for Leicester as well. And with their fixtures, you know, they only really play Arsenal out of the top 6 in the next 8 game weeks, next 9 game weeks. So, you know, they do have a really good run of fixtures. And yeah, definitely would recommend a Leicester attacking player. I'd also perhaps give a shout out to Pereira as well in defence. 6 million, a bit more of a premium pick in defence, but definitely has shown that he can deliver in terms of attacking returns.
Yeah, a luxury differential, much beloved of Neil Murray. With these two, I see what you're saying about Vardy. I think it's definitely a different state of mind with Vardy. He has to be regarded as a latter-day Eden Hazard. Set him and forget him, catch him every now and again, but just expect that he's going to score in all sorts of games. Like, he's a player who just defies like the stats as well. He's a player that you need to watch really to get a handle on, because if you look at his data, you think this is a terrible footballer, but actually what he is a fantastic little scavenging predator. Maddison, a bit more of a tough one, because he looks very good, doesn't he, when you're eye-catching as a footballer, but in terms of the end products, like last year I wasn't really convinced. We got a few free kicks, things like that, created the most chance of any player last year of 99, I think it was, but I'm still yet to be convinced that he's going to be able to produce week in, week out. Like, him and Jack Grealish, although they are different players, different sorts of players, do kind of fit into that category of players that I'm just not too sure about, but always look very, very good when I watch them play. As you said, the kind of the teams they're playing are very, very good. The fixtures are nice. You do have some a few away games there, though, Crystal Palace and Brighton, where they're going to come up against defences who are sit deep and try to block. And Maddison might be very good for those, Nick, because he'll be taking more of those pot shots from outside the box. He really is a bit of kind of a latter-day Lampard sort of character, just taking lots and lots of pot shots. So that's what you're kind of hoping for. And you're hoping that you're going to be able to still retain your bonus after he gets penalised for the shots off target. So yeah, I think either is an acceptable option. You've got to think about other players around that sort of bracket. As you said, Vardy 9 million, could you do better with, I don't know, Jimenez at 7.1, then you've got 1.9 million to play with. Maddison, could you get a Tielemans? Could you get, I don't know, some other player in that cheap bracket, a Mason Mount or a Cal Hudson-Odoi, and have more money to play with? Oh, maybe. Like, for me at the moment, Madison's spot is taken by Mount. Vardy's spot is taken by Callum Wilson. I don't have that extra million to play with, so I'm choosing to avoid Leicester for the time being because I've got players in that I like more. It's just a case of what you kind of judge to be the best, I suppose, going forward. But yeah, I like them both, and I probably would kind of, if I had to choose one, go with Vardy, actually, just to set and forget, basically. Right, next question, Nick.
Yep, the next question is about captaincy conundrums. So Sameet Bojani is hating his captains at the moment, as we spoke about in the first section, and asks, how do we even choose these anymore with fixtures for my test and rotation all playing a role in the failures we're seeing? We've had a similar question from FPL Fool, who's asked, is it time for differential captains? Well, the differential captains didn't really pay off this game week, did they? I mean, I know Callum Wilson... Callum Wilson was a bit of a differential captain, to be honest. I think it's the first time that either of us went beyond sort of a Liverpool or Manchester City player, and it probably was the first time for many to take a little bit of a gamble this game week. That didn't really work out. I know some people tried to captain Pukki as well this season as well in games like
Norwich versus Burnley, which didn't work out. So I'm not sure if it is time for the differential captains. I feel like you still got to kind of put your faith in the Manchester City assets, at least for this game week at home. It is basically the team with the biggest goal threat against the team that has conceded the most chances at home. So it definitely feels like the time to kind of put your faith again, personally for me, in a Manchester City player. So that's probably what I'll be doing. I'm not going to be taking any risks with the captain. I think it's probably going to be Sterling for me. And I know that, you know, as Sumit said, they all seem to be struggling for form, and we're seeing lots of captain blanks, unfortunately. But you know, I don't think this is going to last forever. As I said, you know, all things considered, we know that Manchester City are a fantastic team. We also know that Liverpool are a fantastic team, and they'll be competing for that title right until the end of the season. No doubt, the rest of the top six you can throw them away as far as I'm concerned right now, apart from maybe Chelsea. But I think I'm still going to go back to putting my faith in those players at those teams for the next run of fixtures at least.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, it breaks if you don't force it, and it breaks if you don't try. And in this regard, especially, like, all right, we've had a lot of basically bad luck with the captains, but a great point Alex Ball made last week, which really stuck with me, is that like all of these captaincy choices were all choices that we made with all the data being understood. They're all considered, they're all weighed up, and they're all choices I would make again, not knowing what I know now. Who would have thought that, you know, captaining, as you said, like some sort of differential, like Yamat or something, would pay off? Like, or Steve Cook, I think, was the captain of the guy who had the highest score on Saturday night. Like, absolutely crazy stuff. That's not going to happen. Like, to be honest, there's a reason behind all of this, like why we always look at teams like Man City and why we always kind of seem to have a template which forms, regardless of what your views are and what the template is or isn't. And that is that these players, the players who form that, are players who either for form reasons or for the underlying reasons or for fixture are worthy of a place in our consideration. Like, there's about I don't know how many players are in FPL at the moment, like 450 or so. And there's only really about 100 we actually care about. And in that regard, I think the captaincy is the pantheon of what FPL is, because it's just, you know, a good captain is basically what separates a bad week from a good one. And in this regard, like, I don't think it's worth going too mad with it. Like, with that sort of, we went through that, didn't we? Remember with Kane and Salah, went through that with Salah, Aguero, and towards the end of last year, Sterling and Mane getting on the pantheon. And there's a reason, as you said, because Man City is so good and because Liverpool is so good, that it's definitely worth just backing them, because more often than not, they are the guys who are going to come through for you, right? I can see why differential captains may work every now and again. Like, I think sometimes you've got to put yourself in that kind of position to take a risk, like Callum Wilson this week, like I did with Son against Watford in game week 7. Unfortunately, that hasn't paid off. It's not to say a differential captain is always a bad idea, but you have to use it at the right time, or at a time which is prime for that opportunity. This week with Man City at home to Villa, nah, play it safe, guys, because I don't think it's going to be too likely that City are going to do nothing, and you'll see, I don't know, the likes of Callum Wilson explode versus Watford away. That would be nice to own him, but I just don't think that's going to happen. So you can only really do what's sensible, make a decision that you can stand by. If it hasn't worked out in hindsight, then it hasn't worked out in hindsight, but stay sanguine and just don't get too wrapped up in that and worry about what could have been. If you wouldn't have thought of it, just don't worry about it. Cool. Staying with kind of the high octane Liverpool guys, the high octane players. And next question is Salah for your Mane. So Sar asks if the clamour for Mane is meaning Salah is becoming overlooked. And Ollie McCabe asks, is Mane a better option than Salah? So we talk about this a lot. Nick, what's your standard answer here?
Well, you know, I have been leaning towards Mane in recent weeks because he's cheaper, which is fantastic. Get an extra 0.6 million, which can go a long way in your FPL team, to be honest. So that's why I kind of sold Salah for Mane on my wild card. Though, you know, as I said before, I don't like swapping them out and changing it to stick with the one you've got and keep him, because you'll just be punished by the red roulette. As I've said many, many times, they're both very, very good players. I've always been more of a fan of Mo Salah, but I do feel like... you know, especially in the last year, that Mane's actually been the best performer between the two, in terms of the games I've watched, at least. But I felt like this weekend they really did seem to miss Mo Salah's energy in the Liverpool attack, and they looked a bit blunt without him. So he might come back and absolutely smash it, and it is a bit concerning to see all those people that are selling him in the market forces, because they've got Spurs up next and we've been absolutely diabolical this season. I don't like to quote this stat because it makes me feel a bit depressed, but I think apart from Aston Villa, we've actually conceded the second most shots so far this season. So, it's not been great. I'm not quite sure why I put Gazzaniga in my wildcard team. But, yeah, bad times anyway. So, I think both are really good picks. And, you know, they both have advantages and disadvantages.
Cool. No, I think as somebody who doesn't own either at the moment, I'm becoming more and more interested in Salah with each passing market forces, just because the clamour for Mane is obviously understandable. I can get that, but the gap between them is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. Before long, they're both going to be, you know, 12.1 or something like that. If all the groundswell is towards Mane, then I mean, it's not true to say that Salah's not going to kind of see a resurgence this year and he's not going to score any more goals or do very well. Like, the stats are always hugely in Salah's favour. I mean, obviously we know that Mane's conversion is higher and he's a better finisher, but Salah does nonetheless offer a fantastic FPL option. He had a poor run of form recently, but when we get to game week 13 and maybe I'm looking to bring in one of those players, maybe I might bring in Mane this week, I don't know. But I'd be very interested in Salah, just because I think that if there is a kind of a swing towards Mane, then betting the opposite way is going to be quite fruitful. I think that could be very, very interesting indeed. So, yeah, I think that Saar maybe is on something, that Salah's being slightly overlooked for Mane. And I'm not sure whether we can categorically say Mane is a better option than Salah. We've still got a long way to go. We've obviously got the Christmas period where Salah comes to life, it seems, to come. I think either is a good option, as you said, Nick. It's just that one in Salah could be really good option if everybody does desert him and goes on to Mane. So I think he will be back, right?
Yeah, 100% he'll be back. So had another question from John at Sprites John. He's asked us if the strong bench idea still holds up, as he's got Lundstrom and Rico coming off the bench for Salah and Otamendi. So that's fantastic for John. I think you certainly can go cheap at the back. You know, you mentioned Kelly as well, Martin Kelly. Who's injured now, but doing very well as well, as another very cheap defender. And it's just the cheap defenders are just bossing the more expensive ones at the moment, especially this game week with Rico and John Lundstrom. John Lundstrom's just had an absolutely ridiculously good season so far. I think he's certainly the best value pick possible this season, hasn't he been? And I think so. I think, you know, I did have my team, which was very very sort of rubbish bench, and then I've changed things up a little bit. I think you've got a few players coming through as well. You know, the likes of Aaron Connolly, I mentioned a few times on the pod already as well. Another 4.5 million forward that seems to be shining as well. So I don't think you do need a strong bench. I certainly wouldn't be looking at a team, and I've seen sort of team structures set up before where they've got like a 6 million or 6.5 million player sort of benched week in, week out. You certainly can get away with having the likes of Rico and Lundstrom on your bench. And if they're coming on and delivering clean sheets, then, you know, there's nothing wrong at all with that strategy.
No, certainly not. We said at the start of the season, didn't we? 4 million is its value if they get one point off the bench, let alone six or seven, like consistently. I mean, Lundstrom, as you heard earlier, saved my week to some extent, or got me to 30 at least. And the strong bench idea, I just don't think it quite tallies up at the moment, John, just because you've got these great options who are playing. We have an embarrassment of them, and we also have players like Soyuncu and Tomori who benefit from the fact that FPL opened early, so they're undervalued by 0.5 and have basically provided fantastic value for money. So I mean, do we need a strong bench at the moment? No. Will we need one over Christmas? Well, maybe. But if Lundstrom and Rico and the likes of, you know, Kelly or whatever are all stepping up and playing, we might have extra money to push onto the pitch. And it's just the case of kind of thinking, well, how are we going to use that or deploy that effectively? But yeah, I mean, this year we have had a couple of godsends really, in Lundstram and Rico particularly. So it could just be a bit of a favour for FPL managers, like, okay, the game isn't going that great, but the game, as Joe FFS has said, has thrown us a bone. So maybe we can use that extra cash to fund some sort of superstar team later on down the line. Okay, speaking of funding players in, let's talk about transfers and captains this week. Nick, you are on your wild card, so I'm guessing you don't want to be making any changes this week, do you? And who's captain going to be? Is it Raheem, you said?
Yeah, no, I'm not making any changes this game week. The whole idea of my wild card was it wasn't just for one game week. I'd be sticking with these players for a few game weeks, and the fixtures all look nice. So I'm already very tempted to get rid of Gazzaniga in goal, who looks like he might have been a little bit of a mistake, especially with that Liverpool fixture looming. But yeah, no, I'm not going to be making any changes. And I will be captaining Raheem Sterling this game week, Tom. What about yourself? I heard you mention Kevin De Bruyne earlier.
Yeah, I'm going to be captaining De Bruyne, I think. I think he'll be at the centre of everything. I am expecting, it didn't quite happen this week, but I'm expecting Mendy to eventually free up Sterling to move inside a little bit. But this week, Sterling did stay wide a little bit. I think that Kevin De Bruyne is going to be at the centre of everything, really, for Man City. I'm going to keep an eye on, obviously, what happens midweek. But I feel like De Bruyne is quite a solid choice because he's got to be immune to rotation, right? You've got to hope that. And as for transfers, I did one on Saturday night. I did Pukki out for Jimenez before he drops. That was Pukki, so I could do the one for one. And I was able to keep the door open effectively by doing that move early for Mane to come in this week for Son and Otamendi to go for Tomori. However, I'm thinking about that a little bit more because I've got, I could buy Mane in now and just kind of keep him, or I could go do something a little bit different and really target these two Man City fixtures. So with Otamendi going, I have a Man City spot free, so I'm really considering bringing in Mahrez, having the three amigos. I'm not talking about Mars, Kylie and Don there, but Mahrez, KDB and Sterling against Aston Villa and Southampton. Captain KDB, basically just go all in on City and see what happens. I don't think I've ever tripled up in midfield before, but that could be really, really cool. Could be David Silver as well, of course, depending on who plays in the week. At the back, I could bring in Tomori, as I was thinking about, or I could go back to Robertson, or I could get Maguire, your pick this week. I was considering him too. So yeah, quite a lot to think about. I think I'll wait until Friday when I've got maximum information. I'll let all the price changes happen. Like, I was very close to making a change last night because Son drops. But I think I'm just going to leave it, wait on it for the time being and kind of see what happens over the course of the week, I suppose, of all the midweek football and European action. I think Kevin De Bruyne has got to be my captain this week.
Yeah, sounds great. I think Jimenez is a really, really good pick, actually. Someone that I'm considering how to get him in myself, just looking at Wolves fixtures. They've got like a fantastic run of games coming up. And I think he'd be a really good pick. So yeah, thanks for listening, guys. And thanks for getting through this pod. I know it's been another tough game week. But just to say who we are. Who got the assist? You can find us on Twitter at WGTA_FPL and that's WGTA_Nick. And make sure to listen and subscribe across the podding spectrum. And if you want to join our league, the league code is EIKX03.
Cool. There's a theme every week. Last week it was the Libertines with Alex Ball way back when. This week, along the same themes, Naughty's Indie, which we obviously love. But yeah, hopefully next week we'll come back to you after scoring 80, 90, 100 points. And we've all done very, very well in Templates Broad back. But in the meantime, I hope this assists you and we'll be speaking to you very, very soon. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist?
Social Podcast Network.